opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Cando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is January the 11th, 2019. We have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. The number is 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Definitely hit us there. Today is a Financial Friday. We have a live show for you today, and today's show is the imaginable circuit before us. It's today's show. So we're going to jump into that. But before we get further into that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial energy to maintain the direction of this network. You can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt and give some of your financial energy so this network will remain on air. Without your support, it goes dark, and we don't want that. You don't need that. We don't need that. So please support the network. You can also support the network by being a part of the social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. They won't sell your identity, and you're not being seen by the rest of the world to be able to data mine to your own demise. So it's a membership, but you could still engage in social media activities. You could promote things about yourself, your business, or some other business or other things that you think is important and pertinent. Very important is the only place that I post. And going forward, it's going to be essential in a lot of things that we need to be preparing for all together. So we're going to definitely need this platform. And for only $24 a year, one-time membership of $24 a year, you can gain access to that overall, be a member, and post and get information. Very, very, very important. So let's support that, okay? All right. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, which you should be doing, exchanging your cash for money, your currency for money, and you can do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can actually save as a king and a queen and save as a lady and a gentleman and not save as a slave, because a lady and a king and a queen's wages is silver. The wage of a lady and a gentleman is gold, and the wage of a slave is debt. Take your overall currency and turn it into the wage of a king and a queen or a lady and a gentleman, not the overall wage of a slave. So definitely we'll do that. All right, so we're going to jump into what's in the news. And so sorry we missed the past 2 days. Actually needed to take care of some business, still wrapping it up, but critical parts have just another step. So just sorry about that. It's going to happen from time to time. Next week I will actually be traveling, but still we'll be doing the show. Keith, Pastor Keith who is co-host today, is in studio and is awake, but is still, of course, playing his video game. But we're going to rely on Pastor Keith next week to host the show, and I'm going to co-host the show from on location. We'll have a show, but we'll hopefully Pastor Keith will put down the video game that he's addicted to engage with in meaningful conversation and dialogue with you all, and I think he will do that. But it'll be hard. I won't be in studio to kind of nudge him to wake up. You know, when you get around 85, I can't expect him not to, you know, kind of be on the nod in between sentences. So we're gonna have a show, but it's gonna be kind of a sporadic. But Pastor Keith will do it, and I know he'll do a great job. I'll be here in support, Pastor Keith. So you don't have to worry about it. Okay. So we're gonna get into what's in the news. Keith, did you have anything before we get started? No. Okay. Thank you, Keith. So no, Keith, did you have anything before we get started?
Not yet.
Okay. Here we go. Today's show is Financial Friday. The imaginable circuit before us. So that is the name of the show. First article I got from RT International. Officials' worst nightmare. Yellow Vest hopes to trigger bank run with financial protest. This is over in France. The Yellow Vest plan on hoping to trigger bank runs this weekend. And I would say, you know, it's some things that the people really do start to need to be doing. I just hope that this isn't infiltrated. And it's actually being used as a celebrity status, but it's actually going to benefit the actual a different agenda. So see how it plays out. But, you know, it's very, very important. And I will just, and I said the last time that we were on, which was on Tuesday, said it's really important for us as the people to not be so controlled by a shutdown. We really do need to sit down. We really do need to sit down. Sitting down is very, very powerful. It's more powerful than punching. It's more powerful than having a violent reaction to things, because sitting down means that you're removing your energy from a certain situation. Now, there are cases and points where you do need to protect yourself. And that is not what I'm saying that you compromise. But what I do say that we have to learn to compromise is our engagement into something that is not in our best interest by giving energy to it. So sitting down was what the people really need to do, not just here, but globally. We need to sit down. And so, and then from that, I think we would gain a whole lot without, and it needs to be a leaderless movement. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because a leader always has you tied to a leash. That's what a lead is. That's what a lead is. So very, very important.
So what's the difference between a leaderless movement and a grassroots movement?
In my opinion, Keith?
Yeah.
Well, depending on the individual. Depending on, because if you get a individual that is leader-orientated and system-orientated, they'll tell you what grassroots is. But that's not my definition of grassroots. Grassroots is really comes from, it means that it's organically developed to sustain for all. So grassroots is not an agenda, is not an agenda that's set forth by the prevailing authorities or position. Grassroots would mean to me is where it is the actual, because you know with roots, when you look at grassroots, they go everywhere, right? And they're really, really small. And they grassroots to me would be where it's the individual people collectively coming together. And with grassroots, they're small, but then what do? They bind together really, really close. And then they start to move downward from there. You know? It's collective prudence. Because if you ever pull up this grass, if you look at it, all of the grass is, you see the individual shreds, but they're all intertwined and touching each other in some form, in some fashion. And that is collective prudence, where now the people are doing what's in their best interest before going deep into the ground. And as they go deeper in the ground, what are they able to do? they're able to extract the necessary sustainable life force from the earth itself, but it's also a measure of giving back too. So to me, that's where grassroots is definitely is to me, Keith.
I think one of the most important things that you said was something so simple, but what we are amiss of almost all the time. And that is what is important to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think what the problem is most of the time, what we think is important to ourselves is not what is important to ourselves.
Yeah. I totally agree, Keith. You know, I think there's a measure of we really have to detoxify ourselves from a lot of different things. But we'll get into that because it's really important. I'm going to come back to that, Keith, because we're going to do what's in the news. But that's I think we definitely do need to detoxify ourselves. Well, you know, then from there, we can do a whole lot more. And I don't think it's bad for I don't think that one has to come before another. I think that we need to engage in this overall. I'll get to it. We'll get to it. So check out that article from RT. Next article from RT as well. This is RT International, Russia Today International. U.S. risk losing AAA sovereign credit rating over shutdown. Fitch warns. The ongoing government shutdown in the United States could soon start to negatively impact the country's debt ceiling. Rating agency Fitch says the U.S. runs a record deficit and pushes overall borrowing past $22 trillion. So, and I'm going to, there's a lot to this shutdown. But let me get to this because I'm going to come back to that.
Yeah, because I want to comment on that too.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Next article. This is a critical one from The Hill. Our missile defense systems are no match for hypersonic weapons. That comes from The Hill. Got that article. Very, very important. So basically tell you where this war is going to end up at. Next article. In the U.S. military is supposedly working at a breakneck speed to get a electromagnetic rail gun and to be able to also to neutralize and have their own hypersonic weapons and everything else. Too late.
Too late.
Next article from Reuters. Exclusive. India refineries pay for Iranian oil and rubies. Dollar done.
No more petrol dollars.
Yep, moving towards that. Absolutely. Next article from RT International. Russia shifts 100 billion of its reserves into yuan, the yen and euro, in a great dollar dump.
Mm.
Going to continue. So what does that say? If Russia's doing that, what is the agreement that they have with China, with the European Union, and with Japan? The setup there is more important. It's where they gave the overall movement of the funds that's critical. Tells you what? That backdoor deals have been made. Doing what? Excluding the U.S. dollar.
Okay, so to make that plain, which I was just trying to explain to somebody the other day, of course, you're right with all the back doors and all of that, but let's look at what's in our front yard. What that means is all those trillions of dollars that were being used have no place to come but back here.
Return to sender.
You got trillions of dollars being dumped on your front doorstep. You're
right.
Looking at hyper runaway inflation.
Right.
The dollar means nothing.
It's return to sender with no confidence, meaning it has no purchasing power. That, yeah, Keith, you're absolutely right. So check out that article. Next article from Maldives Economy.com. The Year of Living Dangerously. The Year of Living Dangerously. By the prickling of my thumb, something wicked this way comes. William Shakespeare from Macbeth is how they start this whole thing. Very, very true. Check out that article. Next article from AP News. And that is U.S. and China leaves next step for trade talks unclear. Check out that article. This is a really, really important one that we're going to have to check out today. This comes from Real Clear Politics. Real clear politics. Excuse me, I have a sore throat. Got to work through this. Unfunded government liability are ticking time bombs. And I would say that it's not ticking anymore. It's already exploded. Now it's just waiting for all the debris and the scrap metal to make impact. So can't change it. It's done. It's already gone. But boom. So check out that article. Next article from Business Insider. Germany, the fourth largest economy, probably just went into a recession. Check out that article. All part of the economic displacement and the economic global crisis that everyone, the common person's economy is about to be destroyed. You want to chime in on something, Keith? Okay. Next one. Some Sputnik news. Russia vows response as UK defense chief issues warning to Putin. Earlier, US Defense Secretary Williamson boasted that Britain's new fleet of F-35 serve as a message to the country's enemies, including Russia, not to mess with Britain. Moscow is perplexed by the tone taken by the UK Ministry of Defense. And remember, the UK and the US are making their way where? To the Black Sea. To the Black Sea.
Check All right, out. So who's making the F-35?
The F-35 was made by the US.
That's what I thought.
Piece of crap.
In comparison.
Mm-hmm. Well, the F-22s are even worse. They got so.
Who's making India's aircraft?
India. Now I'm gonna say India's Air Force is probably the best Air Force in the world.
Absolutely. So who's making their aircraft?
I have to look. I think they have some. They have some U.S. stuff and they have some European Union stuff. I think like the Typhoon and Tornadoes. I believe it is. Those are some of the best aircrafts in the world. But I will check who's making their aircraft. I forgot. It's off the, I just forgot. But I forgot what the backbone of their Air Force fleet is. Their air fleet. What is. And so, but yeah, I just know that they're one of the best Air Force. They have some of the best pilots in the world.
I think I was reading, they were saying out of their war air games, out of 10, India was winning about 7.5 of them.
Yeah. There was actually a war game that the U.S. and India had engaged in, and India handedly defeated the U.S. in air superiority, from dogfights to being able to deliver missions. Yeah, and this was not too long. I think it was done in 2015.
And remember now that India has joined forces with
the BRIC nations and Iran. India's making inroads with China. And they're arch enemies. They shoot at each other on their borders. Now that's starting to end.
And why might that be?
Right, Keith. Why might that be? And there's an economic tie that they have to move away from the US. And India is not bullied into leaving. That's it. Say, no, we're not doing that. So huge. Next article from this is from Strategic Culture, making sense of Trump's foreign policy. Check out that. Next article from Press TV. U.S. says Syria withdrawal has begun. Russia doubts it. Russia says that it's doubtful that they have. And yeah, you'll see what I mean. It's a play on words. Not really happening. Check that out.
You know, I was also reading an article, basically they were talking about all the hidden bases that we had throughout the world that nobody, quote unquote, knows about,
mm-hmm,
or aren't listed or documented on any of these things that they talked about when they talked about withdrawals and all these things.
Mm-hmm. I would say there's no withdrawal, there's just repositioning. So check out that article. But you say withdrawal because that's politically correct. That gives you political momentum.
But the problem is, though, Dave, we're talking about repositioning, but guess what? our positions of repositioning are getting pretty scarce also.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I'm going to check that out. Next article from South China Morning Post. China declares the Chang'e 4 moon landing mission goals accomplished. Check out that. I'm going to have a show on that relatively soon.
All right, let me just, do you believe that, and here's why I ask.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the dark side of the moon.
Right.
Which is more difficult to get into as far as, well, maybe we shouldn't even go into that. There's always been a major controversy whether we've made it.
I don't think they have. I've been to the Kennedy Space Center. I've seen the pictures.
And that's what I was saying. I came across some stuff the other day, and they had documentation of the documentation of them setting this up.
It looked like it was on TV and
all these
things. In my opinion, they never been to the moon. The shadows are wrong. And the most damning evidence is that the moon doesn't have any gravity, supposedly.
Well, it's got some. It's greatly reduced from what we know. So back to the point that I was making. So you're a firm believer that we've never made it to the moon?
Yeah.
Are you a believer that China's made it to the dark side of the moon?
I think that the possibility of making it to the moon with a vehicle, yes, probably can do it. Probably have been done.
There's some belt that's up there. I should have read better about that. That, you know, there's a barrier up there that you have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That they're saying is impossible to get through that barrier.
Yeah.
As far as, and that's what's prevented man from doing so. But you think that China might have solved that?
Could have. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just going to report with their eyes. It's more believable when, instead of putting the man on the moon, it's much more believable that you send a vehicle to the moon.
Okay, they said that's a vehicle.
Yeah, and not a man, mankind. So, yeah, Keith, I do. Next article from Press TV. U.S. deploying troops to Iraq to maintain Middle East presence. See, that's I don't think that they're really going to be withdrawn from Syria. They're repositioning themselves, and then you just say that you're withdrawn. So that is so check out that article from Press TV. So that's what's in the news. At any time, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. I'm just playing. Come on back, Keith. Here's the call-in number. So that last article, I don't think Keith heard. That one was from Press TV, where the U.S. was was actually increasing its overall Middle East presence in Iraq. So that was that one. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And so I'm going to jump into today's show and then go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, Keith. And I want to start with today's show because I just want to take a look at some of the imaginable circuits that is going to be before us all. Last time we was on Tuesday, we took a look at Venezuela. We're going to take a look at that again because we really needed to finish that. Very, very important. But I want to say this about I know I'm going to get a positive reaction from everyone on this one. Never want fans. Fans means fanatics. When it comes to the border, Trump is absolutely right. With the wall. Absolutely right. And it's not really a problem. And I'm going to tell you why, in my opinion. and it's not for what people think. Now, do I understand what's being played here? Of course. Of course. But putting up a wall or putting up a barrier between the U.S. and Mexico should never be a problem.
Say that again.
Putting up a wall or a barrier between the U.S. and Mexico should not be the problem that is. It's being politicized for a reason. It's not uncustomary or uncommon to have a barrier between one country and another country anywhere in the world. And it shouldn't be an issue in this case. Because you think about it, here's what I mean by that. It's called illegal immigration. Okay? Now, should there be a way for people that are seeking political asylum? Should there be a process for that to happen? Yes, absolutely. But this wall means it's a diversion for something else. Because you think about it, the wall is not going to stop one person that is entering the country so-called illegally. Not going to hinder or slow that down in one way. It's not going to cause for a break or deter that in one way. Because there's still tunnels.
Ladders.
There's still tunnels. There's still ladders. There's just so many things. But it's,
plus, there's just so much territory that you can't cover with a wall.
You can't. And it's politicized, but it's not uncustomary for countries to put up a barrier between one country or another. You do it at your home. People do it at their homes.
But they
hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
People do it at their place of business. People do property lines and things of that. They put up fences to show the overall property line and everything else. So that is not really the issue. It's politicized for a reason. And here's what I think the reason is. It's the perfect plausible deniability for the economic collapse of this country. The so-called government is in a shutdown. And they're saying that the shutdown is because of what? Something that's insignificant and doesn't really matter. When the real is that, could it be that the overall effect of the petrodollar and the reserve currency status has now come home to roost? And as Fitch said that, yo, you're unsustainable, we're going to have to drop your credit rating. At some point in some time, when you are not able to pay your debts and you can't service your debt and you continuously try to create debt, your income to debt ratio becomes
unsustainable,
completely too high. So what do? You emotionalize the issues and you put on mainstream media. I've always thought whatever mainstream media tells you to go left, you go hard right. When they say go right, you go left. When they say go up, you go down. When they say stand put, you run in any damn going direction you can get to. When they say everything is okay, get out of Dodge. So in that standpoint, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter whoever the celebrity figurehead president was, I'm not, but if it's going to be about a wall, that means nothing. A wall means nothing.
Okay, but I'm missing your point, Dave. And the reason why I'm missing your point is the wall does mean nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going bankrupt. We're going in the toilet. But we're not there yet. I mean, we're already there as far as, but it hasn't manifested itself.
Yeah.
But in the process of this going down, you got a million people that haven't been paid.
Mm-hmm.
You got prisons and prison guards and all that that's about to abandon all this kind of stuff. You got food stamps being canceled, right? And even though you don't have to pay for it, but right now you have, and you're going to worry about building a wall?
Well, it is really, I think what you're really doing, and then remember celebrity figurehead Trump said he'll declare emergency? You know what that really means?
the martial law.
That means that, remember, celebrity figurehead Obama signed in 2015, Executive Order 13602.
Martial law.
The national preparedness, national defense preparedness. I can't remember exactly what it was. And in that, they can take everything you have because of a national emergency that the U.S. has deemed to be a threat.
Martial law?
It's far worse than martial law.
It is far worse than martial law.
Because it invokes slavery.
It's totalitarianism.
Yes. It invokes slavery and totalitarianism, was what Keith said, because I can't say that word right now with my sore throat. But you think about it. Are they not doing that? You know, part of that executive order says that if you're a critical billet individual, you'll have to work for the government for free. What is a shutdown?
Sure.
And it's much, much greater than what it is. It's not the overall clowns, suits that are displaying that are the joke. The joke is on the people. Joke is on you. This is so much more than what's apparent when you look at the evidence that substantiates and validates that, hey, they're not going to ever tell you what's really going on, because then what does that mean, Keith? That means that you'll take the necessary precautions to prepare yourself. They don't want you prepared. And Department of Homeland Security has put out, hey, have what, 30 days worth of preparedness? See, that's all. They do that because then they could come back after the crisis happens, self-validate their existence, and substantiate their authority and why you should be listening to them. So they'll come back and say, I told you so. I told you all of the economic indicators, people are now saying, hey, warning, what was that, Lost in Space? Warning, Will Roberts.
Danger.
Yeah, danger.
Danger,
Will Roberts. Danger, Will Roberts. They're all yelling the danger, Will Roberts. I knew I needed to go back to somebody that's 85 years old. Yeah. So it's not what you think. It's really what they know.
Well, yeah, and it all works together. You were mentioning what's going on earlier. Look, you were talking about they're reducing our credit status. Well, when was the first time they reduced our credit status?
One time that I know significantly was in the crash of 2008-2009. And then after that, Timothy Geithner was able to threaten Fitch and Moody that if they did, they would suffer big
right.
consequences. So they
didn't
do
it. Recall them actually doing it. When they did, it was during when? A shutdown.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they made a big deal out of that, but they did it during the shutdown. So now we're having all these economic crises in this country, et cetera, et cetera. And what do? Have a shutdown.
A shutdown.
That's not coincidence.
No, it's not, Keith. It's a part of the step-by-step methodology to control. Remember, they got something called COG, continuity of government. In COG, the continuity of government, most people think is just for surviving a nuclear attack or a part. No, they got COG for everything. They got COG during the good times, the bad times, and the rad times.
And I think COG is different now than what it used to be.
I think it's always been in the same, but I feel you, Keith.
Well, here's why I say I think it's different. I agree that he had a COG, and the COG was
continuity of government.
You're supposed to have a COG, right? But even the fact that you're supposed to have a COG, right? The reason why I say it's so different now.
Where's the COG? Where's the COG? Continuity of people.
Sure, But I think what has happened, and this is why I say I think it's so different now, is because the cog now is corporations and money.
Yeah, fascism, without a doubt, Keith. That's what cog really supports. It's I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, so true. When we need not, when we should be sitting down to establish a COP, cognitivity of people.
And their cog is woefully designed to do or to ensure that that doesn't happen.
Yes, Keith, absolutely. To subjugate the cop. So true. So I just wanted to say that, but I knew you would, you know, appreciate me saying that, you know, celebrity figurehead Trump was right.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of a wall, a fence, or whatever, it means
why
nothing.
Why do you say he's right?
No, I'm just saying from that standpoint, I'm being sarcastic. But from that standpoint, that wall, that fence, that barrier means nothing at all. It's really insignificant. But what we're doing is that we're allowing them to dictate the overall agenda. And by that dictation of agenda, that means that we are actually compromising our overall moral convictions for someone else's agenda. We're selling out.
Say that again, because why that's so important is they are conditioning us in a manner that we are completely unaware of.
Yeah.
And it's huge.
Yeah, it's significant. And it really matters. It really, really matters. It doesn't matter if your neighbor puts up a fence. It doesn't matter if your neighbor puts up a wall. It doesn't really matter.
I got somebody that...
What really matters, Keith, is our relationships with one another.
Which are being dissolved. And this is why. And somebody texted me. They said they are setting the table. They don't care about the camp and the children in the camp. It will soon be naturalized citizens, political enemies, people who can't pay their debts. And she's right on all of that.
Yeah.
But the main point that you said that I was stressing was the children in the camps. Because to me, that goes back to very simple, where you get to the point where you can shoot somebody in the head and not think about it.
Desensitize you to
exactly
your overall moral conviction. That's what it is.
Exactly what it is. Which has to be done to bring up on autocracy.
Yep. Autocracy.
Autocracy. Yeah, I can't say that word like now, but you couldn't say the other word.
Right,
like
which is all right.
But yeah.
We communicated the point.
It's still the truth. Bring up a totalitarianistic society. Yeah.
Jacronia society that it continues. But it's been that way, and it's cog. They're maintaining cog. That's what all this theater and drama is. It's Francis Bacon, a.k.a. William Shakespeare. Two different characters, same person. And you wonder why Shakespeare is so quoted and so read. Because it's a duality. It's a controlling duality. It's a psychological indoctrination of people to perform. And to perform against their own best interests.
And that's key.
Yeah.
And you know, this is nothing new.
Oh, it's been around. It ain't the new world order. It's the same world order.
and I think it's sure you had certain periods of society with Hitler and those sort of things, et cetera, et cetera. But I see that so much stronger in this country because it always has always been. One of the greatest examples I could think of is the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Civil War was the exact same situation we're in here today. We look at slavery, which was huge in this country. But if you look at the number of people that actually owned slaves, they were a very small minority. And the people that owned the big, big, big giant plantations were even a much, much smaller minority. The reason why I bring that up is it's no different than what we see as the 1% is today. But the point is, you had all those people from the South willing and exciting to fight the Civil War. And it was against all of their own best interests. You had the South, look, the white people that fought that by the most part was the poor, the degenerates, the down and out, right? Slavery was terrible for them because how do I get a decent paying job if you got all the black people working there for free? Slavery wasn't good for the masses of whites. But they conditioned them to think that it was, that you're better than the blacks, and therefore they went out there en masse to put their lives on the line, protect the few riches money.
And Keith, you know, and that's why the thing about subjugation is that it doesn't target one person, it separates all.
Sure, because if you look at
Keith.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, to Keith's point, I completely agree with him. We have to go back. First of all, I'm not saying that, quote unquote, racism didn't exist anywhere else on the planet. But I know about U.S. history. I study U.S. history. But, you know, the terms black and white were created by Virginia, you know, plantation owners. And we'll have the wealthy, okay? Prior to it becoming, quote-unquote, black-only slavery, the Irish were being enslaved. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge that, but they were. People from other parts of Europe were being enslaved. They might call it involuntary servitude. It was that plus slavery, all right? So the people who were on the bottom, regardless of their color, because they wasn't even, the concepts of black and white hadn't even been invented. You were known from what part of the world you came from, your nation, your kingdom, your tribe. That's how you was known. And when all of those people that was being subjugated through involuntary servitude and slavery, then they banded together. It's called Bacon's Rebellion. They created racism in this country to prevent that from ever happening again. All the subjugated people, regardless of skin color, we know who's benefiting, we know who's not, okay? And so they came up with this psychological operation in the 1600s called racism, and they, you know, they've been in power ever since. The people, the masses, the poor huddled masses have not banded back together to establish a more perfect union. But I agree with you, Keith.
Yeah, Scotty, I say this a lot too, and I tell Dave, you know, back when they interviewed Hitler, they asked him, they said, what would you have done if there were no Jews? And he said, I would have invented them. Which is the same thing, divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's really what it's always been about, and that's what it will be about. That's Cobb, continuity of government. And so, yeah, where are we at? So what I want to do real quickly, we got to jump into this, and want to go back to, real quick, there are major revolts that are going on around the world. France has the yellow jackets. Italy has the orange. Excuse me. France has the yellow vest. Italy has the orange vest. And all of this is coming to full fruition. The Catalonians
situation. All of these things are starting to come across, and because there is something wicked this way comes, as Macbeth had written on stage, as Shakespeare written in Macbeth on stage, because it is a stage, there is a director, there is a script, there is production, and there is an audience, because there is a theme and a plot and a method for an objective. Very important that we change history. The way that you change history is that you first have to win. Because if you don't win, the winner goes to spoil to write history and to maintain another barrier, another wall, another form of separation, another obstacle in instruction and subjugation and domesticating those that haven't even learned to read. And it's very, very important that momentum is never lost, because it's this system is based off of energy, and it needs a lot of energy. And it's like the Silver Surfer with Galactica. He needs another planet to take all the energy from. He has an insatiable appetite because he's gotten so big and so powerful. It needs to continue to consume worlds. So, a lot of that.
Yeah, and again, the problem with all of that, Dave, is, as a matter of fact, because I was reading an article the other day, right? And what they were talking about was the point that you brought about who writes history and how. And they were talking about the media that we have today. And the media that we have today, you take no, it covers no news. All it covers is drama, mess, right? Even if you look at everything that Trump's doing, they don't, you know, they're passing bills and stuff. You don't hear nothing about the bills being passed. All you hear about is somebody might say something, somebody else will say something else, and who's going to win in that argument. They don't discuss what the argument is, the content, where the basis of this, and those are the people that write history.
Yeah.
So what's happening is, back to the old biblical verse, my people perish. And we're running around fat, dumb, and happy, not having a clue as to what's going on with us, around us, by us, against us. We're oblivious to all of it,
hey,
for
Keith,
the most part.
Hey, Keith, I was on Twitter the other day. So, you know, Roland Martin, since News One shut down, I think it was News One he was on, but they shut down, right? They got rid of their entire news division. I think it was on BET or something like that, right? Because, you know, all black folks don't need news. They just need to be entertained, you know? So anyway, after he started his own media company, you know, he on YouTube, he got his own platform, but, you know, the backbone of his platform right now is YouTube. He then hired a couple of staff members, so that tells me he'd been saving his money from when he was in mainstream media. He had some savings and some resources to start his own platform. So now they trying to get him, and these are other black people, right, trying to get him to be a Fox News contributor. And to go on Fox News and debate Candace Owens, you know, the black Republican and whatnot. And I was like, why would you want, we talk about black empowerment, we talk about black business building. This man is building his own media empire, right? And he's employing people, and I hope he employed more people, which he said he would as he grows. But why would you want him to drop that to go be a contributor on Fox News? And I was like, on Fox News, you know, they have a controlled opposition. That means that everybody else gonna get to talk 50 minutes and you're going to get to talk 5 minutes. Oh, and when you're talking during that 5 minutes, they're going to be over-talking you and cross-talking you, because I've observed them for years. I don't watch it, but I've observed their modus operandi for years. I got friends that's been on Fox News, and you know, I would watch when he would go on there, or they go on Jesse Lee Peterson's radio show. Man, they not bringing you on there to hear your ideals or your point of view or nothing. You're there for the entertainment of their audience, as they want to see this libtard or this liberal get beat down by some conservatives. And it's all, you know, they've solicited this gang mentality in politics, and it's about entertainment. Because I told Roland, I said, look, if you're going to debate her, which you should bring her on your platform to build up your platform, not going on a platform that pushes white nationalism and racism. Why would you go on there to make them money? No, dude, you have her come to your platform. And I just couldn't understand. And then I told this woman everything, and I had an insider, somebody, you know, who's published some films, made some films that's been published on networks, and they'll tell me everything is scripted, even the news. They, you know, was giving me tips, yes, saying that I should script my news. And I was like, no, I'm just, you know, I just speak from the heart and speak from the knowledge that I have and give my perspective. I don't write scripts, you know, and what have you.
And
this woman wanted to argue with me about it wasn't scripted. And then Roland even tried to say it's not scripted. That's a lie. Well, what's the teleprompter for? You know, why do they have news producers? What is a news producer's job? To script the news, to script the program for however long it's going to be on, playing who the guest going to be, work out how long such and such get to talk. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people just have too much faith, man, in this system.
Yep, blind faith.
And they want to subjugate themselves to the system. This man is independent right now. Okay, and he needs to stay independent, because we don't have black media like we should.
You know what, Scotty? To make your point, I agree with you 100%. To make your point, who owns BET right now? And why would they have concerns about buying BET? And if you take
Viacom.
Notes, when they bought BET, I'm sorry?
Viacom.
Right. And when they bought BET, some of the first things that they did was they greatly expanded the videos and they took away the news. That's some of the first things that they did. So, yeah, you get Roy Martin on Fox, and you're exactly right. What they'll do is not only will they stop him from setting up a media to inform black people, but by the same token, they're going to put him in position, like you said, to remove all his credibility.
Yeah, so true. And so, but here at BTR Community and Black Talk Radio Network, we go in unscripted. I mean, we have an idea what we're going to talk about, but it goes anywhere and goes, you know. And I think that's so necessary, and it's uncustomary and unorthodox for a lot of people. You know, because you should be able to grasp things and go in different directions, and you know, because that is more sincere. You know, like children, they go outside just to play. And when they're playing, they learn so much by being full of energy and wild. But see, what happens is that we refine them. We put a jacket on them. We put Jordans on them. We put some sneakers. Don't mess up your good clothes. Don't do this and don't do that. And then now you're actually constricting them to being able to think only one way, the schooled way. And that is never, ever able to really develop that overall genius into a sustainable force of sovereignty, because you turn the warrior into a soldier. They you put a uniform. You put a uniform on a soldier.
That is so powerful what you said. And again, it's just some of the things that we never think about. Because a kid going out and play. Here's one of the things that I noticed bringing up my kids when
I'm sure children, not kids.
Children, I'm sorry.
Kids is
when
a goat.
We went out and played, right? As kids, we went out, right? Because if you listen to kids right now today, one of the first things that you'll hear them say, if you take away their video game, and you'll hear them say forever and a day, I'm bored. So they'll go to their parents because they need their parents to entertain them. The significance of that is when we went out and played, you came in the house one time where you told your parents one time you were bored, didn't have nothing to do. Your parents made sure that you would never do that again, which was so big because of what you just got done saying. It teaches kids to
school them.
Yes, to come up with solutions to their own problems.
Yeah, right. The other way actually instructs them in school, the school of etiquette of enslavement. And because you remember when we were growing up, a punishment means you couldn't go outside. You had to stay in the house. So you would sit at the window and watch everybody else outside with no helmets on riding by,
man,
toe up from the floor up, but happy as, and just, it's just a different dynamics. It's a different energy. So listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, Keith, if you would, because I'm really losing my voice, if you would, come to this article, just read it from here. We'll go from there, and we'll interject the parts of the show, and we'll take it from there. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Scotty, give us 2 minutes.
Land of the free, it lies the home of the homeless. Too many die every day, and we really just want this freedom.
Amendment. We thought this would be the one that would end it, but we still harass, still mass incarcerations. So much for the Emancipation Proclamation. Oh, but be careful, black men, I know you eager to climb. Slavery is legal if you're convicted of a crime. And when that crime that you committed probably don't fit the time, have you building ships for NASA and they pay you a dime. A conspiracy, they try to censor you when you speak. They can't hide behind the sheets, so not they do you like me. Meanwhile, you taking chances out here trying to survive. Yeah, not a lot has changed since 1865, but still they try to teach you that everybody's equal until you up for the same job as white people. Just know until we walk into the gates of the kingdom, we gon' stand here united, ready to fight for our freedom.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., with Pastor Keith here in studio. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we would love to hear from you all at any time. Just we're not on the board, so we can't see you. If you do chime in, just say, excuse me, and we will go to you. Okay, so what we want to do is pick up from where we left off on Tuesday. Remember, we were talking about some of the things that was happening in Venezuela, the displacement, the dangers on the road, the selling of hair for a few days of for food, and selling young people selling their bodies, both male and female, and being robbed and all these other things. So we want to pick this up because it really is something that we need to be aware of and be cognizant of, because it is definitely, it's no longer, it's a matter of being cautious or have safety concerns, or it's something we're going to face. These things we are going to face, and it's going to be much bigger than Venezuela, because the dynamics of the U.S. debt is much, much bigger than Venezuela. It's the biggest that it's ever been for all of the nations. So it's going to be huge, this displacement. So Keith, we're going to pick back up on here, if you would. We're going to pick up right here at
I just want to reiterate, because that was a few days ago. Mm-hmm. So can you give a synopsis, because Venezuela was one of the wealthiest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Venezuela had a higher standard of living than the people here. The Venezuelan people had a higher standard of living than U.S. citizens had here. And that overall has been actually shattered. The everyday. Now, let me just say this. Venezuela's economy has not collapsed.
Why do you say it's not collapsed?
It's the people's economy in Venezuela that has collapsed.
So their government is still operating. It's just that the people don't have any money?
The people don't have any means to yes. Exactly, Keith. So who are the ones that being adversely affected by that? Where do you see that as well? Right now in Congress, what are they doing? They're getting paid.
Paid. As a matter of fact, they're getting pay raises.
It's the people of Venezuela that are suffering.
But do you think that's going to be the same thing here?
Oh, it's going to be far. Yes, without a doubt. What, you know, that's just a normal operational, you know, procedure. That's, you know, SOP, standard operational procedures. Exploit the people. Because wealth is actually devised in today's economy from resources, and then those resources are used to subjugate and enslave the people.
Okay.
They publicize the liability. So the cost, the debt of things, they make the people pay, and then they privatize the profits.
Okay. And I'm not stalling. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get a better understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in the United States,
mm-hmm.
in Venezuela, you have the people that, like you said, the governments and stuff, they're doing well. But in this country, these governments are still going to be operating off the all-American U.S. dollar.
No, I don't know.
You think the powers that be are divested enough, and they knew enough to get out from under the dollar?
Oh, without a doubt.
To the level that they can sustain government as a country?
They give away dollars.
And they take everybody's
and
wealth.
They take everyone's wealth.
Yeah.
They save in wealth and they pay in debt.
Right, right, right. So they take everything you got and give you nothing in return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's happened. That's not here. That's the economy. That's how the economy works. Because the economy never collapses. Because the economy never collapses because those that are subjugated or are actually the burdens of the economy haven't organized themselves enough to collapse the economy. What the economy does is that it exploits people by resources. It takes the energy of the everyday people and gives that as a form of money to those that control resources.
Okay, so the problem with what you're saying is the fact that, again, it goes back to, unfortunately, the way we think. And the way that we think is generally speaking, your average person thinks in a way towards the good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in all actuality, and this is getting to be more so than before,
mm-hmm.
the powers that be are looking at the term depopulation,
mm-hmm.
and which literally they're talking about, in some cases, like if you look at Ted Turner, literally he wants to wipe away about 4 billion people off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gates
mm-hmm.
is a huge proponent of a depopulation.
All of those are celebrity figureheads, individuals. Because if you see them and you can hear what they're talking about, they're repeating what they're being told to repeat.
But the fact remains.
Yeah, the fact remains.
You
yeah.
have a small cadre of people
mm-hmm.
that are willing to wipe out the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But they realize that wiping out the masses, which is not the way the masses' mindset is,
mm-hmm.
but it's a huge payday for them on the collapse and the depopulation.
Right. Because why would there be a depopulation program? Because they're saying this overpopulation and all of that, which is all a lie. But that is because of this. The longer and stronger and more of the population you have, the harder it is to subjugate and control people.
Absolutely.
They don't want to lose that overall position of advantage, because if that momentum is ever lost, they won't be able to harness that overall momentum that will be gained, and they won't be able to get it back. Now resources returns to its uncontrolled state, where it provides for sustainability for everyone that it what? Interacts with. So that's why the depopulation program is in effect. Because without depopulation, when you depopulate, it's easier to control 1 million people than it is to kill 1 million people. Because
when you have
It's easier to control 1 million people than it is to kill 1 million people. What that means is that you have 1 million people and they're all subjugated to you. If you were to kill them, you would be affecting who? Your wealth. Then it goes this way. But now it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control them. Why would they have that switch? That switch happened because that 1 million people are now aware of something is up. Now they're a threat, so now you have to kill them. You have to, what do they say with the herd? They have to what?
Thin it out.
Thin the herd out. Because it's not about the number, it's about the awareness of the herd. When the herd starts saying, nah, we're not doing this no more. Uh-oh, guess one too many.
You know, and it brings up an interesting point that we talk about oftentimes. You know, you can have 1,000 people out there ready to overrun whatever element and control that they're going to run with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as they advance, but that element that they're going to overrun, they have supplies, they got weapons, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. You got a mop up 1,000. Well, you shoot the first 8 that run up there, just 8.
Just depopulation. The herd get back in line.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you know, there's and they glorify this in so many ways. How do you do it? You do it through nationalism. Every time, next time you go to a sporting event, if you ever want to see Nazis, wait until they play the national anthem and watch that overall mentality get up. They'll give you all the excuses as to why you do what you do, but have no understanding of what it is that you committed to.
No understanding.
And it's where you ignore, you give an excuse. No, I don't do it that way. I do it because of this.
Yeah, I think to make your case.
That's not true.
Yeah, I think to make your case plain, as I was reading something the other day, and again, how much things have changed in a very relative recent present.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that today less than 10% of your people serve in the military.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back in the day, of course, you know, the masses were half, you know, a significant. As a matter of fact, all the politicians, a whole lot of them used to be ex-military. So how do you have patriotism and experts in patriotism when these people have never sacrificed or done anything towards what they are now the experts in?
And Keith, to, on that point, let me give you a little thing there. So when you have all of those people that do serve, right, what happens is this. You don't have to kill a million people now, because you've already subjugated
them.
Now when you get down to 10% serving, uh-oh, guess what? You need to do what? You need to depopulate, because you're losing control. You're losing ground, momentum. You're losing influence. And so how do you get that influence back? Shoot the first eight. As in using your scenario, you just shoot the first eight. So they're about to shoot the first eight. 800,000, 800 million, 1 billion. So, yeah, that's where we are. And this is what you generally see throughout history. It's cyclical. It continues to go on and on. It's just new to us, but it's not new to
us. It's same old. Somebody texted me and they said they taught us how to pass a test, which is what you were talking about.
Yes.
How the kids, well, she's saying basically that, and that continues on. You know, if you look at 401, 457, mm-hmm. so all of those things, it's mm-hmm. the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They got everybody brainwashed into saving all this money back in what you're talking about, currency, which is losing its value anyway.
Right.
You know, but yet the masses do that because of the way that they condition us to think through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's true. It's indoctrination. So Keith, let's pick up here. Go ahead and look at Martinez. So Keith is going to read this article from Fox. It came from Fox News, and the article is Venezuelan women selling hair, sex, and breast milk to survive as the country continues to crumble. So we're going to pick it up. We started this on Tuesday. We're going to pick it back up. Yeah, who is that? That is, this was a doctor.
Okay.
Right, an attorney.
Catherine Martinez, an attorney and director of the Prepara Families, Ready Families organization in Venezuela, which endeavors to support hospitalized children, their families, and caregivers. Okay. So with that being said, we're going to move down into what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says, Martinez estimates more than 55% of the healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, and others, have left the country. Resident doctors who have stayed in Venezuela earn the equivalent of $24 a month, while specialists make a little more than 30. We also have a severe problem with nutrition. There is no supply of baby formula or nutritional supplements. Therefore, we have a lot of malnourished children, and the situation is then even more complicated.
Let's stop there, Keith. So in an economic collapse, what does that really say? What Martinez is saying, and what happens in the economic collapse, for those that can get out of the way, what do?
They do get out.
They get out of the way. They leave. And why do they leave?
Because why go through what you don't have to?
Yeah, and then they just do what? Displace themselves and move. And then now what does that do? That overall opportunity and void of, you know, solution or being able to mitigate the problems or even to hold back the problems. Now what happens? You have it where there is no barriers now to contain this whole thing. It just is a wildfire with going through a hurricane that has no rain and it's just blowing with winds gusting at 150 miles per hour. So now this wildfire is everywhere.
So you got a wildfire, but all the firemen left.
You got a wildfire with winds that are gusting over 100 miles per hour, and there are no way to try to get this thing contained.
And why is that? Because those individuals had the opportunity to stay or get out the way. And what did they do? Got out the way.
They got out the way.
Because now if they stay in the way, what happens? They'll be able to where they won't be able to have the resources anymore to do something up to stay. So they'll be in the same predicament that, you know, it's just a matter of time. One of the things that the economy teaches that is that the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent.
Absolutely.
So you're continuously dependent upon the economy. And that's what the economy wants you to do. Because then when that happens, remember we talked about it's easy to control a million people? Now those million people leave. And they're easy to control. These doctors are real easy to control now. Because now, why are they easier to control? Because you're starting to shoot the eight. And what are they saying? Oh, we out.
So, now I'm going to jump.
It's resource sure. Important. So if you had the resources, what would you be able to do in Venezuela? You would be able to endure.
And see, where I see this, in the same line of how things work on a whole different subject, what Scotty brought up earlier. Why would Fox News go get Roland Martin and bring him over?
Sure.
And it's the exact same scenario. You shut that person down.
Yeah.
And you can control everything else.
Yep.
You just shut down the few that you need to shut down. Where in this case, though, it's not going to be a few.
Hey,
it's not going to be a few.
Hey,
this is going to
be a big net.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, guys, Scotty.
I think this current government shutdown it hits more home when you talk about preparedness. You know, you were talking about just talking about Venezuela. Now, I don't want y'all to think I don't have empathy. I have empathy. But when I started doing some research, when I kept seeing all these woe is me federal workers, ain't been paid since so-and-so. So I was like, well, what's the average salary of a federal worker? It's just under $60,000 a year. It's $59,000 and some change. That's the average pay. They have great benefits. I don't have to tell y'all about the great benefits that they have as well. And they're also eligible for unemployment in the different states that they work in. Furloughed employees are eligible for unemployment. And then once the government does start up, they will get back pay. Plus, if they continue to work, they will get back pay, and in some cases double the pay. So they're gonna come out ahead after this little vacation or whatnot. So I'm like, okay, but let's just say some of these people, these sad stories I'm hearing is really true. And I just keep thinking of back to Tando, the whole reason Tando is on this network. Now, you work for an entity that you know, throughout, or I should say, you work for a corporation that has in its past shut down for a month or two or whatever. I think now it's tied, you know, this shutdown, partial shutdown, I should say, is tied for the longest ever. All right. So, you know that this has happened in the past before. I heard that, you know, if you want to be prepared, and this is before I even, you know, heard of preparedness and you know, talking to Dave and listening to stuff he put out. But they say you should have at least two months salary in savings for emergencies, because emergencies can come up, you know, at least 2 months. Then also, you know, the things Dave talked about taking that currency in your check and investing it in resources. So what I'm long-windedly saying is they should have prepared. They're in a better position to prepare with them good paying jobs with good benefits than a lot of people. When I first got out of the military, I had a family. I'm trying to take any kind of employment I can get. So I started working at this cotton mill, just unloading and loading trucks, you know, with this car with other guys. I only worked there a year, but it was guys who worked there longer than that. But every November, December, and January, them guys know that you're going to be laid off for 3 months. And then they gonna bring you back because, you know, the business that they was in, it just slowed down during that period. So I'm like, yeah. Well, how, you know, what did those guys do? You know, if they went and got their unemployment, they filed for any kind of assistance they could get, and, you know, they found other jobs, little side jobs or what, whether it was hustling in the streets or whether it was taking a part-time job, you know, for a store. So I'm like, I'm sorry, but y'all should have been prepared. You were in a better position to be prepared than most of the working people in this country. So excuse me if I seem unsympathetic to your woe is me story.
No, Scotty, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when do you prepare? You prepare when no one else is looking, right? And what Scotty is saying is absolutely right. If you're a federal employee, you know that this has happened before, or you should know, unless this was like, you're a kid, you're young, you just got into it off, you know, never knew about this. But if you had tenure on there, you know that these things happen. And you should have been preparing for this before this all happens. This is why savings is so important. And I'm not talking about savings the way that the bankers in the system want you to save, because they want you to save in cash, when you really should be saving in resources. Now, you cool. You can weather the storm, you know? And that's what Scotty is saying, is that if you're in an industry that is likely to, and not only that, you've been seeing this happening for the past eight years, they've been talking about shutdown every year, pretty much, or every 2-3 years. So you know this is going to be coming. So what you're saying, Scotty, is absolutely right, because, see, if you don't, and it's not just for the shutdown, this is for the everyday person here. You better be preparing for when the economy shuts you down, because when it does, it'll be too late for you to start to get prepared when the storm hits. So you get prepared now so that when it does happen, because when you prepare, you don't lose anything. But if you fail to prepare, you have the opportunity to lose everything. It's just not a prudent thing to do at all. So that's what I was just saying, and Scotty was absolutely right on that, and that's just another case in point as to the importance of doing and doing what's in your best interest. There's a difference between being a warrior and a soldier. It's a big difference. Soldiers take orders.
Let me say this, because I'm more empathetic than you and Scotty, even though you are both correct 100%. But I understand how people got in the situation that they're in and didn't prepare. It goes back to the conditioned mindset that you're an American citizen. You know, you're working for the government. You hear that every time. Most powerful man in the world. The richest country in the world. You know, all this stuff is programmed into you. So I have more empathy for them than you guys display. However, here's what chaps my butt, is when I have conversations with these people today and they maintain that same attitude. But you're crazy. Why are you doing that?
But Keith, that's what Scotty and I are basically saying. So you're in the same condition. You see it the same way as we do. And I say that because of this, is because what we're saying is, hey, prepare.
Yeah.
You know that this, and see what happens when you tell people prepared, you're going to rub them against what their comfortability. No one, everybody wants to be reassured that everything is going to be okay. But that stuff ain't true.
Yeah.
That's not true. It's not going to be okay. And you need those voices that will tell you need the truth. The truth don't need you. Go ahead and not know, but that will not save you. That will not be a harbinger, and that will not provide you any refuge against what's true.
Yeah.
So,
And then also, look, this guy shared his little paycheck or whatever, or no, his expenses. And then, you know, saying he ain't got money to pay. pay his bills, right? And, you know, they were saying that he had a mortgage. He listed as his mortgage $1,700 a month. I'm like, what was he living in? What was he living in? A $250,000 house or something? So, you know, this speaks to the old saying, keeping up with the Joneses. Instead of me buying something I can afford, I'm going to get something flashy and big and you know, and then I'm living paycheck to paycheck. That's why you living paycheck to paycheck. You spending $1,700 a month on your mortgage? That your priorities aren't straight. And then, you know, you got these people, oh, instead of saving, getting some real resources, whatever, I'm going to take this trip to Cancun, Mexico this year. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sorry, man. I'm just, I guess,
no,
you know.
Right, Scotty. Because what Scotty is talking about is what we talk about. You have to first become a prodigious saver. You know, and that keep when you... The thing about it is that, and you, I know it's this, hey, this is what you need to do. Here's what I always say, and I had to learn this the hard way. The wise heeds good instruction while a fool learns from experience.
Absolutely. Say that again.
The wise heeds good instruction while a fool learns from experience. And I had to learn from experience that I had neglected that wise instruction that I got before. So what's the smart, wise thing for me to do, therefore? No longer turn arrogant, selfish, or spiteful towards wisdom. Because guess what's going to happen? Experience is going to kill me.
Well, let me say what's so interesting about what you're saying. Because how upside down the world is today. With that man that sits in the president's chair that everybody knows he lies everything out of his mouth, but yet they follow him.
And you voted for him. I just want
from the fact that when we grew up, and I brought this up before, when we grew up, we were read bedtime stories. And one of the stories was Aesop's Fables. You remember Aesop's Fables?
That's right.
They were all teach life lessons, right? And one of the main ones was exactly that. It talks about the ant and preparing for the future and all those things. You don't hear about Aesop's Fables no more. Not only that, goes back to what Scotty said and what goes back to what you said. Look, we were taught, what are you doing? Why are you saving for all this stuff when you can have it right now? You know, these things didn't come back by accident. This was a plan put forth. Now, to top it all off, what you just said was so crazy. Which was so right, because you said, if you listen to what people say, they say today, a wise man learns from his experience. When that is completely wrong. A wise man learns from somebody else's bumping his head. He don't have to bump it.
Right.
But
yep. That wall already got a dent in it.
Exactly.
I'm not going to put a hole in it.
But today, they think that a wise man learns from his experience.
But see, the approach that we take here on Tando and everything else is sometimes rub people the wrong way. Well, sometimes it's really going to really take a lot of rubbing to get that daggone patina off of you. That overall hardening, that overall disengagement, that overall fantasy is going to take a lot of rubbing to get that off of you. And that means that you're going to have to be rubbed with something that is harder than the overall patina. And it's going to have to scrape you and it's going to hurt. But it's the best thing for you.
If you respond the way you're supposed to respond.
Well, see, most people will respond, will do this. They'll move themselves from, that's I don't like what they, that ain't comfortable. I don't know. I can't afford. All of it. They scared because they not prepared.
I'll say that's partly true.
But then they'll move because they don't want to be a part. And guess what? That means your patina. You remember the old story, the hardening of the heart.
That's where I was going. Now, and that's why I was going, that's the important part. Because when you say they move, that takes clarification.
Yeah.
Because, look. If
we gotta go to commercial break. Listen, everyone, you listen to Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're gonna go to a commercial break. We'll be right back. You gotta watch the clock.
No, we didn't.
To the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Back to Black Talk Radio. We're going to go to this article. I got to apologize.
But no, finish what you were saying about the hardening of the heart.
I don't want to because I don't remember what I was saying. Okay, no. So actually, it is biblical, right?
Yes.
Because we got to understand the nature of man, right? So when you're growing up and your parents chastised you for whatever they were chastising you for, right? How did you respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you understand that you're being chastised and get back on the right path and do what you were supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, Dave, the minority of people will do that.
Yes, very
the true. Minority of people. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but just recently you have a young lady, I believe, out in Mississippi, 32 years old,
mm-hmm.
got two daughters, one's 12, one's 14.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, something happened, and the girls tried to run over their mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She survived that, and she took away their cell phones because of that. All right? Well, about 3 or 4 days ago, they killed her. Shot her in the chest, multi-stab wounds. Right? My point in this is, which goes a long way around of everything that we're talking about, is how do you respond to what you, and biblically he talks about, look, these people know who God is. When he comes down there and starts smacking us upside the head, what do most of the people do? They curse him. Instead of saying, yes, Lord, we understand we were wrong, right? They curse him. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we live in a world of such messed up indoctrination and mindset, you know, that what you say is exactly right. What Scotty says is exactly right.
So she raised the enemy from within her home.
That's getting to be more and more the case more and more often.
They did what, Keith? First they tried to run her over, so she... punished her. And then now they
turned around and killed her. Brutally. And then here's how messed up the system is again, right? So, and we're getting way off the subject. Dave, you're so long-winded, we're supposed to do this article. But here's how messed up the system again. That whole situation is jacked. But the fact of the matter is, those girls are 12 and 14 years old.
But isn't that really a mirror image of how we really do act?
Sure it is.
And you're right, Keith. That's really how we do act. Because we constantly go after, look at what we want instead of what we need. What we want, I'm going to tell you, what we want is what man has created. What we need is what God created. What we need is money. What we want is currency.
And worse than that, Dave, what we generally want is detrimental to us. The things that we think that we want most of the time aren't the things, like you said, that we need and or are good for us.
Yeah. Wow, Keith, I wasn't ready for that story. I didn't even know. Whoa. But let's get to this. Whoa.
All right, let's get to this.
Because
if we keep letting you talk, we'll never get to this.
So we're gonna get to this. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We're not on the board, so if you have a question and comment, just say, excuse me, we'll hear you, and we'll bring you up. Okay, go ahead, Keith.
Okay, so we're talking about Martinez, who was organizing these things. It says, we also have a severe problem with nutrition. There is no supply of baby formula or nutritional supplements. Therefore, we have a lot of malnourished children, and the situation is then even more complicated. Julio Castro Mendez, a doctor who specializes in infectious diseases.
I try not to read the people's names.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
A doctor who specializes in infectious diseases and is a professor at the Medical Institute of the Central University of Venezuela underscored that 65% of the country's 70,000 patients with HIV have not received treatment in the past 6 months. Coupled with an astringent malnutrition, some of his adult male patients have dwindled down to 77 pounds, he said.
Stop there. So now what happens, and when the common person's economy collapses, what you really see is that you've always been in a depression. You just didn't know it. Venezuela is everywhere. They just haven't released it for you. They're holding on to it, and they're building that momentum for the opportune time to spring that Venezuelan hook. The Venezuelans, see, what happens is that when they spring the hook, then you start to see what's really behind everything. And Venezuela is set up, every single economy is Venezuela's economy, because that's what the system does. The thing is that once they pull everything out, once austerity measures come into play, now you'll get to see what you really had. Nothing. You had a promissory note. How many promises a man neglected on you before? How many times did a woman broke your heart, Keith? How many promises? Let me put it a different way then. How many times has a promise by man been made to you and it's been broken? It's broken the minute that the corruptible heart spoke it. And so Venezuela is here. And then now what happens is that when they pull back that overall austerity measures, all of the things that the austerity measures was hiding comes to truth. The EBTs aren't starting to work, Keith. So now you're about to see in America how close to Venezuela you already are. All they have to do is turn it off just for a moment. And guess what happens? Your dependency on that drug was so deep, you go into what?
What's an EBT?
The government, electronic, I forgot what it's called. What is from the government, the substance, the supplement, the government supplement. You kind of refer to it as welfare.
Yeah.
He's going up. Yeah.
I'm just pointing that out so everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. So now those things are starting to happen in different states. And it's with the government shutdown. So now it's, they cut it off now, and then boom, the effects of it happen. What if they cut it off for a month, 2 months, 3 months?
And that's what's going to happen.
And then you'll, right. Because if you continue to rely on their trap, then you're always going to be captured. If you continue to play by their rules, then they will rule.
Okay, so let's go back to what some of the things we were talking about early in the show, which goes about this dastardly plan that they have. Because if you go back to the 1930s and 40s, right? If you go back to the whole welfare system, especially in the predominantly black community, right? They made it a point, in order for you to receive these things, there could not be a patriarch in the house.
Yep. You got to break up the family.
Exactly. That man couldn't be in a house.
No family, no nation.
Right. So why would you go about, and this isn't new knowledge, the family is the core of society.
A land without men is conquered. A land without women is barren.
Either one is unsustainable.
Yeah, absolutely right, Keith.
So why in the 1930s and the 40s, etc., did they purposely set out to destroy the family?
I'm going to give you another one, Keith. Also, in the government assistance program,
and before you do,
yes.
And I'm sorry, because in the black family, they did it from the very beginning.
Yeah.
As soon as they brought it, so they did it. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
And we understand. But I'm going to give you another situation in that. In the overall government assistance programs, and I didn't know this, but, and I was told about this, is that black families that were on government assistance, because at that time that we were on government assistance, I was a child growing up, right? I didn't know the dynamics of the traps and everything else, you know. I didn't know, you know. My mom did a great job of you know, keeping me wild, you know. So, but I didn't know this, and I heard this that from someone that was on it during, you know, a while, long, long time ago, and they're older now, and they were just telling me about this, or I heard it indirectly from them, but it's from a very credible source, that during that time of government assistance, black people within the community, the black community, were paid always in food stamps, while other people, white people or other people, was actually paid in cash and food stamps from the government. They were actually given cash
opportunity.
They were given cash and food stamps. So, and I'm not saying, what the system does is, the system is very, very strategic. They're cunning, and they do everything for a reason. Because the division, dividing people, is so important. Because they rather divide people. Because when they have to move to the measure of killing people, they may lose that battle.
Sure.
They may lose that battle. So it's deep. Oh, and it's going to switch. Oh, believe me, it switches. There is no, don't, let's not buy into the program that that it's always one way. The system is multifaceted. It's completely committed to maintaining control, and they'll do whatever they need to do. They'll switch it. They'll turn it around, which they always do,
and they're ingenious with it.
Hey guys,
absolutely ingenious.
Hey guys, I have a take I have in discussing EBT. Talking about food stamps, that's what that EBT card is for. I guess if you get some kind of subsidy for housing, they may put it on there. I wouldn't know. But here's what I was thinking when y'all talking about historically. I'm glad you didn't say this, Dave, because I would have been disagreeing with you. But I'm glad you didn't go in the direction of, well, before welfare, black people was totally self-sustaining and had everything they need, and we had thousands of black businesses employing millions of black people who just come out of slavery, or their parents just came out of 1865. That's a total mythology. Those people had nothing. It was not like the Hebrews in the Bible leaving Egypt with gold and silver, okay? That didn't happen for the victims of slavery here in the United States. So, I'm glad you didn't go there, Dave, but you said something that I was thinking, that was a system of control. Why would you? They had to implement, you know, some kind of subsidies and what have you, because when people don't have enough to eat, you know, this is why Dr. King went on the poverty tour. Go look up them videos, yeah. Man. Them people was, I'm saying, this one woman had a family, black woman. They eating pinto beans. That's all they could afford. Pinto beans for dinner, lunch, and breakfast. Okay, that's poor, wearing rags, yep. may not have no shoes. So, you know, those people did need immediate relief, and the government, you know, had to be pushed into that, but they gave into it because then it could be used as a system of control. Because when people don't eat, they tend to rebel. You know what I'm saying? When they get hungry and they get desperate, oh man, you got a you might have a revolution on your hands. You know what I'm saying? And then it also, you know, in the subsidies for these poor people who barely making it also helps mask the wealth inequality, which is has been engineered in a racial manner to, you know, divide people, like y'all been saying. And, you know, I've heard people talk about how it was back in the day. Dave, I think we're around the same age, you know. So I remember in the 70s, my mom was getting assistance and what have you. And I remember that time period. But I was reading, you know, that, like y'all said, them white people out in rural America was getting the same thing, and they didn't even need it. They weren't being discriminated against and unemployed and all of that. And that still happens today. You will find about people scamming the system, getting arrested, you know, that you know, don't need the benefits. But, you know, it's a system of control that, yes, these people need to eat, because you don't want them to rise up and then start, you know, a revolution and get rid of this and start something better.
Yep.
You know, so it is a system. Yep. It's a system of control, man.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, we'll pick this up back up. And it's when you really think about who benefits from this system, when you really think, see, they always talk about the government system being on the those that are impoverished. No, the ones that really get the assistance is, guess who? The corporations. They get the food stamps and the large amount of cash for what you say, Keith, so that they can use it for what?
Opportunity.
Opportunity.
And they have the opportunity to use it as opportunity. Because if you look at all the land that was given away, which is where a lot of this wealth bases come from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only were they allowed to go get all that land, but people of color were specifically banned from getting
land. Because land is money.
Sure.
Land is money. So now, when you look at government assistance, you don't even need to look at the pennies that they pushed out. Look at the trillions and billions that they've handed over through TARP, Trouble Asset Repayment Program, and all those things to the major corporations. That's the welfare system. They don't have an EBT card. They got lobbyists. And that is nothing more than taking the energy from the general population and giving it to
the rich.
Excuse me.
The real scammers. The real scammers. So, yeah, we're getting ready to get out of here, but we're going to go to, I think that's Roz that's there. Let's go to Roz and we'll end the show out there. Roz, is that you?
Yes, thanks. I'm just on my lunch break out here. It's freezing, but the conversation was too good. Yes. Thank you. Peace to you, Brother Keith, Brother Scotty, and you, of course, Dave. Two things. First thing is what you said about the food stamps is true, because I remember coming up on them too. And we never got cash. Matter of fact, the corner stores used to hook you up. You would come in, you know, with $10 in food stamps, and they'll give you $10 in cash. So, like, they really didn't want you to take care of anything outside of just getting basic sustenance. So I know of that very intimately. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons they transitioned to the EBT card, because they can control who gets cash and who gets solely food stamps as well, you know, other than... So it's all control. And then the other thing you made me think about is I had put up a video like maybe 2 months ago dealing with the fall of Rome and how it was intimately compared to the fall of the United States. One of the main things they talked about was and they said they showed basically historically everything that Rome went through before they finally collapsed is exactly where the U.S. is at, and we're on the precipice of a major disaster. Now, what they talked about was a concept called bread and circuits. Bread and circuits is basically the welfare system. They give you free bread or seemingly free bread. You know, they help you out to deal with your basic needs, but other than that, you get nothing. And then they give you circuits, fake news, gladiator sports, scandal, all the other stuff to keep your mind focused on BS instead of focusing on, like you always say, being prepared so that you don't have to be scared. Now that the U.S. is coming to the point where the debt is to the point where they can't continue the bread, the circus is getting even more intense. So you're seeing more and more nonsense, more fake news, more misinformation, because now there is no bread to give to the public. And like I think it was Pastor Keith who said it, once people can't eat, or was it Scotty? Once people can't eat, they're gonna snap, and there's gonna be anarchy in the streets. So this is what they're pushing towards, especially with the government shutdown. And I'm just watching and waiting to see how everything plays itself out. But yes, things are getting major. I just wanted to toss that out there. Everybody should look up Bread and Circus. And if you can, there was a great video I put up on BTR Community like a couple months ago, dealing with like just the intimate historical connections and the collapse of the United States and how it completely mirrors exactly what happened in Rome. Thanks again. Great program, brothers. You know, I'm going to meet myself. Yes.
Roz, I'm going to find that video because I think I remember, and I was traveling and doing some work when I saw that you, yeah. So, but if you can, send that to me. I want to highlight it here. And then one day when you're able to spend some time with us on that, on here, definitely need to do it. Absolutely right. And then also call me, Roz. Okay. Call me this afternoon.
Okay,
give me about 4 hours. Call me in about 4 hours.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I'll call you. No problem. I'm going to call you once I get out of work because it's just going to be a pretty intense day. So I'm going to definitely call you. I'm going to see if I could dig up that video and I'll send it to you personally. And I'll probably end up reposting it because I think it's something that'll really be an eye opener for all the listeners and really bring home everything you talk about.
Yep. Bread and Circus. That's what.
Yes.
And they didn't just do it in the Roman. It's a couple of things that, that's a go-to ploy. So much love, much respect. Thanks, Roz. Nicole.
All right. Peace.
You can have a cool, Roz. I don't want none of that. So I can hear it. So, all right, y'all. Hey, listen, everyone. Get ready to get out of here. Much love, much respect. Thank you, Pastor Keith, for what you do. Thank you, Scotty, for you and Roz for calling in. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.